live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Oh, Ezekiel saw the wheel
a-rollin' way,
way up in the middle of the air.
Ezekiel saw the wheel
a-rollin' way in the middle of the air.
Well, the big wheel run by faith,
my Lord, and the little wheel run by the grace of God.
Oh, wheel and all wheel
now,
Ezekiel saw the wheel
a-turning
way, way up in the middle of the air.
Ezekiel saw the wheel
a-rolling way in the middle of the air.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this fourth day of December 2025. The whole subject of UFOs, now given a new nickname, UAPs, Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon, has captivated the attention and imagination of people globally, probably having a greater percentage of humanity believing that there could be life on other planets than ever before. There are far less skeptics, it seems to be the case anyway, and even people with wonderful and highly regarded reputations for integrity, putting their own two cents into the conversation, claiming to believe that something exists in the matter of in the realm of intelligent life outside the planet Earth. And today we are going to have a guest on to try to seek for a biblical Christian answer to this. I was blown away, actually, by the wonderful job that my guest did at a recent Future of Christendom conference on the theme that he is addressing today. His name is Andrew Horvath. He is music director at St. John's Reformed Church of Friedensburg, Pennsylvania, actively involved in men's discipleship and abortion abolition ministries, and was recently, as I said, on the speaking roster at the Future of Christendom Conference in Ephrata, Pennsylvania. And he's going to be addressing UFO, UAP, occultism, the quest for secret knowledge, and saviors from the stars. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Andrew Horvath.
Thanks very much, Chris. Good to be here. I've enjoyed some of hearing some of my friends from Future Christendom on very recently.
Yes. And please tell us about St. John's Reformed Church in Friedensburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we're a small church, a Reformed Baptist congregation. And we found that church after a long, it seemed like a long time of kind of searching around. In 2022, my family started attending. And that was after the debacle of 2020 and the great revealing of of hearts. And so, anyway, we've been there and started leading music later on in that year. We have a biblical institute that meets Sunday afternoons at 4 o'clock. It runs 9 months out of the year, and we just went on break. We cover all kinds of different topics there for the edification and education of a congregation and greater community. And I was taught apologetics 4 weeks this past year for that. But we have a service, our worship service is at 9 o'clock in the morning on Sundays.
And I understand it's a Reformed Baptist church?
That's correct.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the church, by the sovereign grace of God, was rescued out of the apostate denomination known as the United Church of Christ.
That's my understanding. Yeah, that was before we were there. But yes, there's been a reformation within that church due to the influence of Pastor Matt Kanitzer, who has also been a guest on your program.
Yes, and I thoroughly have enjoyed my visits to St. John's Reformed Church of Friedensburg, Pennsylvania, and fondly remember, perhaps especially, when my dear friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries was a featured speaker there.
Yeah, I had attended that event also to meet him.
And if anybody wants to know more about St. John's Reformed Church in Friedensburg, Pennsylvania, the website is sjrcpa.org. That's SJR for St. John's Reformed, CPA for Church in Pennsylvania. .org, SJRCP.
We actually have an updated We have an updated URL for that. It's easier to remember. It's allofchrist.org.
Oh, great.
So I think that old URL probably still goes there, but allofchrist.org will take you straight to our church, and that's easier to remember.
Yeah, in fact, it says for our new website, click here, and I just went to allofchrist.org. That is easier to remember. Before we get into this fascinating topic, I want you to do something that we always have first-time guests do on this program. It's a tradition on Iron Trip and Zion Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony, which would include the religious atmosphere in which they were raised, if any, and the providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And we would love to hear a summary of your story.
Okay, thanks, Chris. I grew up in a Christian home, nominally so, in Danville, Pennsylvania, and it's where I live now, although I did move away for a number of years and came back. And we are actually a good, almost an hour from the church that we are members at and I serve. But it's hard to find a good one, so we travel the distance. I was raised going to a United Methodist church. It was not one of these extremely liberal churches, at least at the time that I was there, that you might find at the UMC. However, it did not really, I would not call it a church at the time that really taught the Bible or preached the gospel. And so I grew up going to church, going to Sunday school, learning some stories and things like this, but I did not really understand how to read the Bible. I did not understand the need for salvation or exactly what that even meant. It was just something you were born into. And so effectively, I would call myself a moralistic therapeutic deist at the time. So I had a sense of right and wrong. I had a sense of, towing the line, doing the right thing, being thought of as a good person. That made me feel good. I believed in God generally, but I did not really know Christ in a saving way. I don't believe. And when I went off to college, my mother, right before I went to my freshman year, my mother had received a diagnosis of cancer, and it was very fast moving. She wanted me to not delay because this was the whole hope of my family was to send me off to college. So I went off to Virginia Tech, but she had succumbed to the cancer within a few months and had died before Christmas of 2001, that same year. And so all of a sudden, my legs were kicked out from under me. spiritually, I was kind of just adrift, and I realized that I had this newfound independence at college, and I did not really have anything, anyone, especially my mom, to kind of continue to live so somebody would think well of me. So I kind of just got away with whatever I could get away with. I was not like a crazy, just off the rails kind of person, but I had plenty of sin, and a very proud individual too, and very prideful of who I was and what I had accomplished and what I assumed that I would become in college and beyond. But God brought me up short in that process. My mother's death, as well as some other just circumstances, had kind of woken me up. And it was the second year of college. There were several people who I had made friends with who were Christians and real ones, who Jesus was a real factor in their life. They knew him. They knew the gospel. They could read the Bible. They went to a campus ministry called Campus Crusade. We call it Crew. I guess they still call it that. It was pretty big on campus at the time. And through that, I finally heard the gospel and met a whole bunch of people who, like I said, for whom Jesus was a real factor and shaped their life. And I wanted that because I didn't have that. And so through various circumstances of relationships and things, God brought me to himself through the influence of Christian peers. I'm so grateful for that. I had other experiences in college that kind of got me out of my comfort zone. I had gone to Guatemala for a summer with an Engineering Ministries International. It's as an architectural intern. And that just was a completely different experience. I really had to rely on the Lord, but I was surrounded by other great brothers and sisters in Christ that were very influential to me. So those kind of circumstances were how God got a hold of me and set me on my feet and started walking in his way. And so now today I've been married for, I believe, 18 years to a wonderful wife who's my best friend. And we have three children together, two boys and a girl. We just turned 1 year old. So we have the older boys, and then all of a sudden we're kind of starting over again. But it's a joy to have this family and be sanctified by their influence all the way.
Amen. How did you discover the Reformed faith?
That's a good question. Because at first, I was very resistant to it. I wasn't really aware of it. But you know, what I did was in college, starting in college and then into my first employment after school, I was very much interested in listening to the various, it was radio shows and podcasts of all kinds of different. I was just thirsty for knowledge. And so I was just drinking up all kinds of things, especially like Hank Hanegraaff, Bible Answer Man. I did encounter R.C. Sproul and others. And, you know, and at first the Reformed stuff turned me off, the Calvinism, because it was very different from the kind of gospel message I heard in college.
Turned off Hank Hanegraaff, too. I said it turned off Hank Hanegraaff, too.
He was very influential in my life, yeah, for a while there. And I know that, you know, he's gone on to Eastern Orthodoxy, which is very disappointing. But R.C. Sproul, it remains one of my favorite guys to listen to, just really respected man. And but the individual who really kind of just made the Reformed doctrine click for me one way or the other, for good or for bad, was Mark Driscoll. You know, he's still around, and I'm not really sure what he's up to these days. Sometimes I hear some good things, and sometimes I hear some kind of wacky things. But I think that I would say that God uses can use a broken vessel, yeah, just like any of us, to deliver very clear, clean water at the time that you need it. So so that would be kind of my entry into that that world. That and you know, for a while there, the Gospel Coalition was very encouraging until it became pretty ridiculous. Huh. So so those were influences, people affiliated with that that kind of stuff. So.
Well, when we come back from our first commercial break, We're going to dive right into the topic at hand, which I'm sure many of you are on the edge of your seats waiting to hear about: UFO, UAP, occultism, the quest for secret knowledge, and saviors from the stars. If you have a question for Andrew Horvath about this, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Always give us your first name, at least your city and state and your country of residence. I can understand that there's some of you that who may want to remain anonymous because perhaps you've seen a UFO and you don't want to identify yourself because you're embarrassed to admit that publicly or something. Whatever the case is, if you're really compelled to remain anonymous, we will grant you that request. But if you're just asking a general question, please give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back right after these messages.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique Christmas gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. And look for their upcoming Cyber Monday sales. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit RoyalDiadem.com. That's RoyalDiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as much as the owners of RoyalDiadem.com do, how about giving someone you really love for Christmas a gorgeous, breathtaking, head-turning, stunning piece of jewelry, and at the same time, give Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a Christmas present? Because every time you purchase jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com and you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we receive 100% of the profits from that sale of jewelry simply by our listeners mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they make their purchase. So whether you are purchasing jewelry they already have in stock, or whether you're purchasing a customized, one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry that they will design and create for you according to your exact specifications, either way, whether you're buying jewelry for yourself or someone you love, please mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you go to RoyalDiadem.com, and we will get 100% of the profits from that sale. That's RoyalDiadem.com, and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we are now back with my guest today, Andrew Horvath, and he has in store for us what I believe is going to be an utterly fascinating conversation. And by the way, let me repeat our email address if anybody would like to join us with a question of their own. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question is personal and private in the area of UFOs. I know that you must have put a lot of research into this, because this is not your background. You're not an aeronautical engineer or somebody, or you're not an astronomer, and yet you really did one of the finest presentations at the Future of Christendom conference that I've ever seen on UFOs. And first of all, obviously, UFO means unidentified flying object. UAP is unidentified aerial phenomenon. It would be wrong to say, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it'd be wrong to say, as many people do, I do not believe in UFOs, because it just means unidentified flying object, and there are unidentified.
Sorry, you cut out there. Can you say that again?
What I was saying is it's wrong for people to say, I don't believe in UFOs, because there are unidentified flying objects. By saying, some people, what they mean by that is they don't believe in intelligent life outside the planet Earth, mm-hmm. other than the, you right. know, the spirit realm and heaven and so on. But obviously there are UFOs, and if you want to pick it up from there.
Sure, yeah. So obviously UFO is a very generic term. It just could be anything that you see that you believe is in the sky that you can't tell what it is. The sister term, which is more modernized, and I think it's actually an improvement on it, used a lot. I mean, you know, when you're dealing with government things, they love their acronyms. And so UAP is, as you said, unidentified aerial phenomena. And if you want an example of perfect example, if you just remember exactly about 1 year ago, last December, we had on the East Coast, especially drone fever. And lots of people seeing all kinds of lights, looking up maybe for the first time in a long time, and kind of some of those reports were identifiable aircraft that people were not familiar with, just looking up and seeing blinking lights and this. But then there were a lot of very strange things that people didn't really know. And I'm not really sure of a whole lot of people who maybe suspected that these were piloted by what we might call alien life or extraterrestrial life or something like that. But they were unidentified, and they disturb people a lot. America, the American audience or the American culture has a very strong, powerful interest in UFO phenomena and aliens, if you will. And so I think it's something worth talking about, because I think that I propose in my talk there, and thank you for the compliments, that this really is something that the church and Christians need to be conversant in, at least to some degree. It might not be something that really interests you, but I think your neighbors are interested in it. And I think that what the possibility is that it makes all kinds of claims that are counter to the gospel of Christ, that are not rooted seeking answers from the Bible. And I think that even to the point that we may see and are seeing alternative spiritualities or false alternative gospels from interest in this. So that's why I think that I believe that the church needs to be willing to address any and every topic because God is the creator of all. And if we are his ambassadors, we ought to be willing to talk about whatever the things are that concern our neighbors for the sake of helping them understand truth.
Yeah, before we go into some of the specifics about UFOs and UAPs, why do you believe, as a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian, that to believe that God created intelligent life on other planets would be incompatible with a biblical worldview?
That's a good question. We would really be speaking, looking to the text, we don't have any kind of information that there was any other propagated planet. However, we do know that there are other intelligences that God has created. God created an unseen realm inhabited by, well, we can say angels and demons. Now, that may be a little bit simplistic if you really want to dive into that realm. But I think that there are other, and this is actually where one of these acronyms comes in very useful, perhaps, and that is that even secular people will refer to NHIs, which is non-human intelligences or non-human entities. And that kind of gets into the realm of where it touches on the Christian worldview. I believe that that God created this earth as a very unique, utterly unique place for humans to live. So in that sense, I think it's completely, perfectly designed for human life and flourishing and for dominion here. And I'm not sure that that it is our role or job to be going out and assuming that we are going to do this on some other planet when God created this planet as the place for his image bearers and as the descendants of Adam and Eve.
Now, I have heard some Christians respond to that question by saying it's impossible for there to be intelligent life on other planets because that would require God sending a savior to die for those inhabitants of other planets, to die for their sins, just as he sent us Christ. And that would mean he had more than one savior, which is unbiblical. Now, one of the reasons I don't accept that as a valid answer by a Christian, which I think, I don't know if you've heard that, I've heard it many times, actually, over my 40-plus years as being an evangelical Christian, because I'm Reformed, and I believe in limited atonement, otherwise known as definite atonement and particular redemption. And if I don't believe Jesus died for the sins of everyone on this planet, why would it require that he needed to send a savior to other planets to die for extraterrestrial sins, if you know what I'm saying? So I don't buy that as a valid response. In other words, there are living, intelligent beings that we know about right now on this planet for whom Christ did not die.
Right. Yeah, that's a good response. I hadn't really thought about that, but that's a fair response.
But it would be such a vital topic if there were these beings that were intelligent creatures on other planets it would be remarkable to me that God would not have mentioned them in the Word. That's my main reason for rejecting the idea.
Right. And I think that what you're finding in current, you can use the term ufology, if you want, ufology. that's a term in this realm, whether from the Christian analysis or not. There's a lot of talk that kind of just rejects the idea of literal extraterrestrials that we may see, you know, depicted in Hollywood movies as residents from another star system or something like that, just because the physical distance is so great and the technology required and there's the travel at the speed of light and all kinds of factors that come into this, that I think that hypothesis is losing popularity in all realms of ufology. And instead looking to explanations, and people have been talking about this, I think, since the 70s, about what they call beings from another plane of existence, another dimension, an extra-dimensional kind of interdimensional hypothesis, not an extraterrestrial hypothesis. And, I'm not an astronomer, as you said, or anything like that, but that does... It does make sense. And I think from a biblical worldview, again, if we understand that there are beings, created beings, and every being besides God must be created, then these have intelligence and some agency, and all under the sovereign purview of a holy God for whatever his purposes are. But we have an understanding from our Bible that there are entities and in the angelic plane or angelic realm where that we can't see into and don't understand, but have a different purpose and different abilities than we do as humans.
Now, you gave an excellent breakdown during this lecture on the different responses and options that if people were going to be studying and responding to this issue logically, you gave different responses that people may have to this phenomenon and why you would rule those responses out as not being in harmony with the biblical worldview. Why don't you go with some of those common responses and major categories of viewpoints within this whole realm?
Thanks a lot. Yeah. So the first one would just be the dismissal out of hand as a total hoax, that people who claim to have encounters or sightings with UAPs or the aliens are not real. They're just merely fiction. And so they're just people's imagination run amok. And so the people are knowingly lying to you. But there are so many stories and told in such a way that I don't think that there's this grand conspiracy among all these different people. I think that they really believe to report what they've seen and from otherwise credible people. So I don't think that there's merely just a total hoax. Another, option going would be just that people are personally deluded. They're imagining these things and they truly believe what they're seeing. So the first category would be people are lying to you. The second category would be these people really believe it. Their false perception limited to the mind, and maybe their hallucinations from drugs or the result of a mental disorder. But there are sometimes physical data. There are sometimes group sightings, and not everyone who has reported seeing these things has been on drugs or out of their mind. Now, I would say that on the drug use thing, that is something that does open people up to all kinds of spiritual influence. So I think that that could be a factor sometimes, but that's not the whole of it. Another category of explanation might be just that these are natural phenomena, but they're misinterpreted. So people are seeing stars or planets that they don't know, or a meteor the old swamp gas explanation, or man-made objects, like satellites that they're seeing, or drones, as we had mentioned, like last year. But there are many bizarre ones or frightening ones that have other factors going on that kind of defy that just as a simple dismissal. Yeah. An option, I suppose, is go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to say those who have witnessed UFOs are not only guys named Bubba in a rowboat in Arkansas. No offense to my listeners in Arkansas, and especially if their name is Bubba, no offense. But that's the idea that a lot of critics have. And there are very impressive people that claim to have witnessed these things. Some of them are pilots and astronauts. And, you know, so, and people in law enforcement, you know, so people who are not the initial candidates that we would have very little reason to view them as having credibility and integrity. I mean, these are people who are upright people many times and highly respected in their fields and in their communities.
Right. So I believe that, obviously, I'm sure that there are some people who just want to become famous, but there's such widespread and varied reports from different kinds of people that, like I said, I think that we have to be open to the idea that people are really seeing something, that they're not just, everybody's just not lying to you. There is actual phenomena happening. And so the whole question is then, what is it? And so as Christians, we can't be scared of the truth. And we know that God makes sense of it all, although we are not privy to all kinds of information. I mean, the other options that you have, Chris, for these explanations would be kind of like, it's like the movies, the thing that I talked about, that these are actual, you know, ETs from another planet, another star system, and they have traveled across the void of space to be here. That seems to be physically impossible by many people smarter than me who would say that that's not going to be the case. So then one explanation is that these are human craft, that these are from secret unacknowledged government programs that the government has been contracting with or creating in their black budgets, all kinds of different piloted craft. But it's really just humans up there. There's no alien involvement whatsoever. But then my question to that is then, how has this massive leap in technology been able to be a secret, and why keep it secret for so long? Obviously, there's concerns about weaponization, and we know that the government has a lot of secrets that they haven't disclosed.
Yeah, we still don't know the whole truth about the JFK assassination. So I mean, who knows?
Yeah. So then the next explanation that that holds a lot of purchase with Christians is what I call the just demons, bro, explanation. And so by that, I mean that that these are real spiritual entities. They are demons, and they're non-physical. So they can be seen and experienced by groups, and they can harm people somehow. But it's unclear how non-physical but spiritual entities can do real physical harm. So there's questions that I would say, as soon as we get to something that can be seen or heard, light and sound are by definition physical. So we have to understand, I mean, we don't really understand, but we have to think about the fact that if we just say, well, this is merely a spiritual entity, yes, but it's interacting in our physical world that we can perceive and record and hear. And, you know, the Bible talks about spiritual beings, like angels being able to eat and drink and talk to and touch people when they open doors. And then there's, you know, question is kind of a can of worms there, but I think that the Bible teaches that, I think in Genesis 6, certain angelic entities left their place and they sinfully reproduced with human women. The whole discussion of Nephilim, that's a whole another topic, but I want to just say that there's some physicality interacting with from the spiritual realm, from the demonic or unclean spiritual realm, when it comes to oppressing human beings. So that's a big topic, and then gets into, you know, the depths of demonology, angelology. But I think it's something that, that Christians can approach with caution.
Yeah, and there is debate. There is debate about these issues, even amongst theologically like-minded people. Like, for instance, the whole Nephilim issue. There are even theologically reformed people that disagree with each other on,
of course, yes,
the nature of what that was. And and just out of curiosity, before we move on from that, we have to go to a commercial break in several minutes, but one of my guests in this program a number of times is Dr. Jason Lyle, one of the most brilliant individuals alive today, and he is a Christian astrophysicist, and he is a young Earth creationist, and he really writes off this whole controversy as being phenomena that can be explained, and he does not believe it could be demonic activity because of it being photographed and filmed. And in Jason's understanding, you cannot photograph something from the spirit realm or film it. Far be it from me to quickly disagree with such a brilliant person, especially when I have no training in the area of astrophysicists. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how he could know that for sure, that you can't photograph something from the demonic realm.
Right. And so then the question is, then if we're another option would be, is there some kind of physicality, some kind of craft that is actually a vehicle that is being formed or utilized in some way that is being co-opted or piloted, if you will, by something. I mean, this is out in the woo kind of very fringy, an unknown thing, but I think it's a very interesting topic to talk about. But the one explanation, I don't know if we have time, we'll get to it after the break, I'm sure, is the idea of that is advanced by men like Dr. Stephen Greer, who I would like to talk some about, because that is the idea that these alien entities are benevolent, that they are here for our good, and that we need to open up the doors wide and communicate with them and enter into communication and communion with them, because they are going to be our saviors. The dangerous and scary, disturbing encounters that people have and report, and plenty of documentation on reports like that from extraterrestrials. These are explained by Stephen Greer as the nefarious workings of our government. But there are real beings out there that are coming from another dimension, and they are to be our saviors. And that's why we need to invite them in and communicate with them so we can learn from them and transform and evolve human society. And that is where the spiritual and religious component of this comes in, which is why I call it occultism.
Yeah, let's get into that when we return from our midway break, which is coming up momentarily. I do want to let our listeners know that after this live show is over, you might want to look up a couple of interviews that I've conducted on the program about this subject. For instance, 4 years ago, September 6, 2021, I had Dr. Jason Lyle on the program, and a part of the interview was him responding to the current UFO controversy. And also, my dear friend for decades, going back to the late 1980s, Dr. Ken Samples, He was on this program as well. And he did a discussion with me that I just had in front of me, and it disappeared. I'll look for it in a moment. While I'm looking for it, I will announce our email address for anybody who wants to join us on the air with a question again. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We have the September 3rd, 2019 interview with Kenneth R. Samples on Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, a Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials. Ken Samples does believe that these are actual genuine reports, especially of abductions, that these may be demonic entities. So he does not rule them out. He is not a scientist like Dr. Lyle, but still very wise Christian man, even though I have a lot of different disagreements with Ken on various issues, like he is an old earth creationist and so on. But anyway, once again, if you'd like to join us, send us your questions to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, your country of residence, if you live outside of the good old USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we look forward to hearing from you and what you have to say. So please don't go away. We're going to be right back, right after these messages from our sponsors.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency, and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Truck and Zion Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvinio, founder of the ReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a
faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favourite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's Word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back. And before I return to my utterly fascinating conversation with Andrew Horvath on UFO and UAP occultism, the quest for secret knowledge and saviors from the stars, I just have some important reminders for you folks. If you really love this show and you don't want it to go off the air, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card, or if you prefer snail mail, sending a physical check at your post office to a physical mailing address. There will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice like a law firm, a medical firm, maybe it's just a special event you want to promote, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. Anybody who listens to this program regularly should know that we here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio have lost two of our largest financial supporters, one of which was a Christian bookstore in business for 50 years here in the Carlisle area that shut its doors permanently a little over a month ago. And we lost that valuable income and source of financial support. And there was a second advertiser that had to withdraw, and there may be a third one on the way. So we really need your help to replace and replenish that lost income. So advertising is one way and donating is another. If you want to advertise, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And with all this urgent pleading for your financial help, I do want to remind you, I never want anybody in my audience to give their own church, where you're a member, less money than you normally give to your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us financially. In other words, please never cut into the finances that you have specifically set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless us. Never do that. I have launched this program in 2005 on one of the main pillars of being a friend, a platform, a right arm, and a helping hand to the local faithful pastor and the local faithful church. I never want to do anything that harms either, including financially. So please, never give your own church less money to bless us. And also, if you are really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless us with a financial gift. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, and you love this show, please help us to continue to exist. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like St. John's Reformed Church in Friedensburg, Pennsylvania, well, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have helped many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience spanning the entire globe find churches that are biblically faithful, even sometimes within a few minutes from where they live. And that may be you too. So if you are without a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful church home, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Andrew Horvath on UFOs. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. And Andrew, you were just getting into one of the responses to this UFO phenomenon, which is perhaps the creepiest, that involves more of the occultic aspect, where people firmly believe in benevolent and kind and helpful intelligent life outside this planet. And of course, we are once again not referring to the spirit realm or heaven. We're referring to extraterrestrials. So if you could.
Yes. So just a couple points of history that you may want to think of before we get to kind of the modern version. Now, I firmly believe, and I didn't come up with this phrase, but bad theology hurts people. And so one of the most famous in most living memory of a situation where there's a cult called the Heaven's Gate cult.
Oh yeah.
Actually had started in the mid-70s. It was a UFO cult, and there's a man and a woman. I don't know if they were married, but they preached that they and their followers would be raptured by spacecraft and go to live on another planet. And in March 26, 1997, outside San Diego, they participated in a mass suicide. And this was corresponding with the appearance of a comet called Hale-Bopp. And they were teaching that the only way to escape, that the Earth was about to be destroyed, and the only way to escape that was to leave the planet with them and to go, and they would be brought up to this spacecraft that was following the path of this comet. And so they believed that these, or at least they taught that these extraterrestrials, as they believed, were benevolent. And so that they, what happened was perpetuated a mass suicide. It was a very tragic cult event. But farther back, Emanuel Swedenborg, the Swedenborgian church was started by him. He was a 18th century inventor and philosopher and different stuff, but he had accounts of benevolent correspondence with people from other entities, humanoid like people from right. other planets,
right?
And I think that laid the groundwork for Joseph Smith. I mean, Mormonism is very much open, I think, to the extraterrestrial question.
Oh, yeah, the Battlestar Galactica. Battlestar Galactica was written and produced by Mormons. And so yeah, there were Mormon themes throughout that program and the movies.
Yeah, because they teach about humans becoming gods and going to live on other planets and stuff like that. So that this kind of stuff is kind of in their wheelhouse. Now, I'm not an expert on Mormonism, but I'm just saying that these things enter into other religious realms that you may be familiar with.
The Nation of Islam is one.
That's true.
Well, they believe in the mothership is going to take black people, and I'm not sure what qualifications are behind that. Maybe they have to be faithful members of the Nation of Islam. I don't know, but it's almost like their version of the rapture, I think.
Right. So to bring it up to modern day, so I mentioned a man named Dr. Stephen Greer. He was supposedly a former, and maybe was, a former medical doctor, emergency room doctor. He's a ufologist now, one of the leading proponents of what's called the disclosure movement. And disclosure, for those uninitiated, disclosure means that it is the revealing of whatever the government knows about UFOs and alien technology. They believe that the government knows a lot, and they're purposely hiding this, again, for the purposes of, furthering the military-industrial complex or the national security concerns that technology might be weaponized. But disclosure, another word for disclosure would be revelation, right? Or that it gets to be a very Gnostic kind of thing. And we're talking about, they say there's secret knowledge and we want to have that knowledge. So they view people who are in this kind of realm and followers of Stephen Greer are people who believe that it is to humanity's benefit that we cultivate relationships with these extra-dimensional creatures, interdimensional creatures, who are older, they have higher morals, they have superior technology, they're wise beyond our ability to comprehend. And so if we learn what they learn and receive from them, humanity will evolve to a higher state and a very unified one. And all of a sudden we're, well within the New Age camp. It's a very New Age hippie kind of thing, but New Age is nothing to be dismissed so easily. It's very, very influential around the world. And I used to live in Arizona, and we weren't too far from Sedona. And Sedona is a mecca for this kind of stuff, of all kinds of Eastern transcendental type things and crystals, and especially the UFO interest is very strong there. So Stephen Greer is he's a central figure. There's two recent documentaries. I think they're both probably on YouTube. One is called Unacknowledged, and one is called Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. I won't go back into all of Greer's history, but he claims to have had an experience with UFOs as a child, and they enlightened him, and so they developed these protocols together, is what he says. And it's tough to know, is he just an agent of misinformation, or is he very much a true believer? And I tend to suspect he's a true believer, but he
a true believer in the phenomena, not in Christianity.
Correct. Yes, he has nothing to do with Christ. In fact, he views Christianity as a very much a archaic and very benighted kind of. It was something we must move beyond, because that's not where the answers lie. He has no place for Christ. He kind of scoffs at all things Christian, and because these quaint, antiquated religions of the earth are all behind the times, and the extraterrestrial saviors are where it's at. So to explain what he means by close encounters of the fifth kind, let me just briefly run through, if you don't mind, the kind of taxonomy of this. First kind encounters, close encounter of the first kind would be seeing a visual, a UFO. The second kind is there's something left behind. some kind of evidence, mark on the ground or something like that. The third kind, closing kind of third kind, and this is, of course, where we have the Spielberg movie from back in the day. That is when occupants or pilots of the craft are witnessed. Close encounters of the fourth kind are when human beings are brought on board the craft, either willingly or unwillingly. So this is the abduction phenomenon. And a lot of those stories from this, believe them or maybe you don't, but a lot of those are very terrifying reports and very scary stories. And again, truly believed by people. I'm not convinced that they're all hoaxes, that they believe that they have had some kind of very close contact that was very evil. And then close encounters of the fifth kind is when humans reach out to initiate contact with extraterrestrials and their craft. And so this is what Greer promotes. And there's a podcast hosted by a man named Andre Cardoso. It's called the CE5 podcast. And this is what he describes these protocols as. It says, as humans, CE5, close encounters of the fifth kind, as humans initiating contact with extraterrestrials. And this can be done by simple protocols that anyone can do. Those who engage in CE5 are cutting edge ambassadors, ambassadors to other worlds, ambassadors of a new earth, ambassadors of hope. And so what this promotes is various spiritual practices of like meditation, and is the summoning is what they were doing is summoning. They don't like that kind of terminology of summoning. It's like too forceful. They want to say we're inviting these contacts. But another name we could call it is a seance. They have Stephen Greer and his folks have developed an app that you can buy that I've never checked out personally because I don't, for many reasons, but that you can buy an app on your phone, and it helps you go through these with different soundscape kind of things and guided meditations. It helps you connect with other people to join in a group and, you know, sit out in the woods or, you know, in somebody's backyard, especially at night, and call in this phenomena. And they have, you know, documented all kinds of strange photographs and videos. And it's kind of disturbing. But this is absolutely a religious spiritual practice. And, you know, I think that something I read recently was this is an alternate spirituality, but the belief that in extraterrestrials is something that actually has gained a lot of secular scientific purchase, because even a lot of atheists famously have said, when put to it, well, where did we come from? What is our origins? And they will say something to the effect of, well, we believe that life was probably seeded here from another planet or from another race. And now, okay, even if that, so they're taking an evolutionary view, but also they're saying, well, this is life on Earth comes from somewhere else. Okay, but again, it's an infinite regression. where did those beings originate from? Where the Christian answer is that God is the creator and God is uncreated himself, and all other things were created by him. So what we have here is a lot of counterfeit stuff, a lot of you know, taking words that we may be familiar with or ideas like ambassadors of hope, and saying, well, the way you want to be an ambassador of hope is to be part of this emerging evolution of the human species, that we need to go and make contact and reach out to these non-human entities, these non-human intelligences. They will never say that that these are evil or demonic in any way. They claim that they are very benevolent and they have no violence, and they deny vehemently any negative encounters. They say those things don't happen. And if they do happen, they are the result of, again, a human government's utilizing perhaps alien technology, and they call them reproduction crafts, meaning that these are of human origin. We took crashed UFOs and we learned how to use the technology, and then those things are used to perpetrate all kinds of nefarious purposes on the Earth. It gets complicated, but yeah, I'll just stop right there and see if you can ask any questions you'd like.
Well, I'd like to go to a listener question that we have. We have Bonnie in Omaha, Nebraska, who has a question. And I was just looking at that question, and it seems to... Oh, here it is. Bonnie says, in the beginning of the show today, the host Chris Arnzen was airing a black gospel version of the song Ezekiel's Wheel. And I know that there are UFO enthusiasts who claim that the first encounter with a UFO in recorded history was from Ezekiel 1:15-21. Have you heard this? And what is your response to what that account in scripture could possibly be? And I played that, so, by the way, tongue in cheek in the beginning of the program.
Yeah, I figured. Yes. And Ezekiel chapter 1 also, I think, later on and described in chapter 10. This is a common thing that you'll see with the people who, one of the most popular cable shows, I think, for the longest time was Ancient Aliens. And so this is the kind of stuff that's promoted by the people they feature on those kind of programs. I would say that this is usually advanced by people who are not Christians and who do not really understand how to use the Bible or have a respect for the God of the Bible. They look at it as a curiosity. So that is a strange account, but I think that the explanation that I've heard that makes sense is that this is a depiction of the, I think it, some people call it like the mobile throne of God, that Ezekiel has this strange vision of these wheels within wheels. I would just say the existence of a counterfeit assumes like the existence of the authentic, you know, the real thing. I botched that, but the point is that if the UFO phenomenon that we are accustomed to has any resemblance to that, it's because it is trying to replicate or distort or otherwise confuse and almost mock the real thing that God has revealed. So I think that it can be confusing. The description in Ezekiel is of the throne of God, that Ezekiel is privileged to have this very strange, and the description is hard to render exactly. It has a description, but it's like really hard to, if you try to draw it or really put the description together in our mind. I think it's because it was so otherworldly and so much beyond the plane of normal human experience to get this glimpse of this heavenly vision. I would just say that is not how we read the Bible, is to say like, well, look, the Bible has this thing. It kind of vaguely resembles what we think of as UFOs. I mean, people have been seeing UFOs, again, or aerial phenomena, something like that, over the years, maybe, you know, as long as humanity's been around. But a lot of times people say that this is adapted to the kind of the technological state of humanity at the time. In the early 20th century, I think, when we first started seeing like where humans had developed Zeppelins, people would see things that looked like airships. And now we have things that look more like fighter jets or whatever. So it's I think it's a deception. I think my personal thought is that this is phenomena created by worked out by nefarious entities, nefarious spiritual entities, we may call them demons, or other things that are in opposition to Christ and his people. And I say that this is nefarious just because that those encounters, they tend to lie when people have communication with a believer or alien, like they always have alternate things that do not jive with the Christian orthodoxy, things that are always distorting where salvation comes from, and are a lot of times very frightening and harmful to people. I have a book here that is called Piercing the Cosmic Veil by a man named Joseph Jordan. So Joe Jordan is one of the Christian writers that I have, and he's been on several podcasts, that I find very helpful in the way he thinks. And this is about a 400-page book, and almost half of it are testimonies of people who have experienced various kinds of the paranormal phenomenon, especially in the realm of UFOs and alien visitations and abduction kind of experiences that they report. And every single one of them in this book says that they were stopped when people cried out to the name of Jesus Christ, so that they claim that they prayed to Jesus Christ by name, and that brought an end to the terrifying experience.
Wow, really?
So this book is very interesting, and he is one of the people I'd like to recommend to people to go check it out. Again, it's Joseph Jordan, Piercing the Cosmic Veil.
Maybe we could have Joseph Jordan back on, or should I say, on the show for the first time. And if you'd like, perhaps you could co-host the show with me.
Well, he definitely has a lot more experience in this than I do. Another name that I find very helpful is, Chris, you're familiar with a Cultish podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Cultish has had on several times a man named Ray Boucher. I maybe pronounced that wrong. It's either Boch or Boucher. Is spelled B-O-E-C-H-E. And he is a very careful thinker, too. And he has had some fascinating writing that you can read his papers online. And he's been on the Cultish podcast several times in relation to the UFO phenomena. So I think that he and Joe Jordan are two guys who are very careful thinkers about this, and I've learned a lot as I've kind of gone through some of that stuff.
Excellent.
And then if I could also just say that when it comes to delving into kind of the bigger picture here, which is the unseen realm, a lot of people may be familiar with Michael Heiser. He recently passed away, but he was a very prolific writer. But the guy I like to look to kind of process Michael Heiser is because he's a Reformed Baptist by the name of Doug Van Dorn.
Van Dorn. I've had Doug on the show years ago.
Great. Yeah. And he has a podcast that he's been doing as a co-host called Reformed Fringe. And Reformed Fringe just is a wealth of really good information. And they interact with the kind of unseen realm, divine counsel, a lot of the questions that people have about angels, demons, but through a Reformed lens. And the reason that I think that the Reformed lens is helpful is, well, not just because I'm Reformed, but I think it brings a little bit of balance where Michael Heiser was famously anti-Calvinist and had some strange things. But I think ultimately, I think he'll be remembered as a very helpful, influential writer. But Doug Van Dorn and Reform Fringe do a very good job at kind of balancing that kind of stuff out. What you'll find in terms of Christians engaging with the UFO topic is a lot of them have some very, I would say, I'm post-millennial, and some different eschatologies of the more dispensational character, possibly. But a lot of the people in the UFO Christian contact realm, there are going to be coming at it from a charismatic background. And I'm sure there's many, we can learn a lot from that sector of Christendom. But I, like to trust people you know, within our camp. Again, Haunted Cosmos is another good podcast there that is a little bit more on the entertainment end, but I like the way that they think about these things. There's a whole lot to go with there.
Out of curiosity, how do the charismatics or Pentecostals that you have heard or read that have addressed this issue, how has their charismatic or Pentecostal views uniquely influenced what they have to say about this topic? If at all.
Yeah. I think that, again, now some of this is eschatology, but I think a lot of it is that there's, I think they're just like a little bit less careful reading of the scripture. And what it comes out is, UFO topics are completely related to, like I said, the New Age, but also the paranormal and occult kind of realm. And there's so much crossover there. And so what it comes to in terms of spiritual warfare is like different ideas that are advanced by different people. And I'm not really sure like who are the most influential parties, but you know, we have to be careful about doing this. We don't want to treat this casually. If we're going to take on the topic of spiritual warfare, we need to do it with the reverence that God's word expects of us. So we don't revile angelic presences just casually and think that we can just command and boss around this and that. We have a delegated authority from Christ. So that is why, again, I think that book by Joe Jordan is helpful, because he relates these people who would say, whatever their theological background may be, the name of Jesus Christ was the determining factor in resisting this evil attack that was coming at them.
Wow.
And that may be in all kinds of different realms. I mean, a lot of people are familiar with or have experienced the phenomenon of sleep paralysis. And so paralysis is, something that needs to also be looked into. But I think it's extremely relevant and related to this topic.
All right. Before we go to our final break, we do have John in Sandwich, New Hampshire. I love the name of that city. And John says, from the research you have done, were you able to find out if a significant percentage of those, especially who claim to be abductees by aliens, had any kind of occultic background or dabbling prior to these experiences?
Yeah. Based on a non-scientific survey of a lot of the stories I've heard from people, the short answer is yes. Like I said, these things go together. A lot of times what you'll find is people who report that they've had experiences with UFOs, that's not the only thing that they've experienced. They've also may have stories about, haunted house or, other kind of spiritual, scary stuff going on. They very frequently, have had other kinds of interests in the 4D and the occultic kind of practices. One of my major, things that, I want people to understand is that why I find the CE5, where you're summoning or inviting in this communication with these entities, I think it's very wrong and very troubling and to be avoided, is because we don't want to invite in the presence of evil. But I think if you go looking for trouble, I think that you oftentimes will find it. Now, I believe that a true Christian cannot be unsaved. I think that a true Christian cannot lose their salvation. I don't think that they can be possessed by a demon or anything like that. But I do think that oppression and unwanted attention, is possible. And I think that but most of the time, the short answer to the question is yes, there are very often situations where people were involved in some kind of occultic practice whether that's some kind of witchcraft, sorcery, drug use. And of course, one of the things that is very concerning is the topic of you have the psychedelic drug use that, you know, men like Joe Rogan might promote, or Sean Ryan, you know, in ayahuasca and these kind of things, where people are going on a journey in their minds to leave their bodies and to go into other planes of existence to have communion and communicate with what we might describe as aliens, because they're some other entity that's not the Lord, but would be a powerful delusion.
Yeah, just like the NFL great controversial figure Aaron Rodgers is very highly into using psychedelics. We have to go to our final break, and if you would like to get on board and ask a question of your own, when we come back, we will go to Truman in Washington, Pennsylvania. But if anybody else would like to join Truman and the others waiting, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Truly grateful for many things that the Trump administration has ushered in, but here's something that seriously concerns me. On July 18th, President Donald Trump signed the Genius Act into law. This new law allows financial institutions to convert your hard-earned dollars into stable coins, a digital token backed by $37 trillion in national debt. They will not need your approval. You hand over your dollars, and they give you a trackable, programmable, freezable token. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. They get control, and you get surveillance. Stable coins are not freedom. They're a digital leash
This is one step away from a full-blown digital currency. How stable is a stable coin? If your account is hacked or if the power grid goes down for a period of time, you can instantly be locked out. It is time to get some of your hard-earned money outside of the traditional banking system and the U.S. dollar. If you want to have a better understanding of stablecoins and the future of money, then please call my friends at Gold Wealth Management and request your free report. This report is a must-read. Call or text Gold Wealth Management today at 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. The report is free and there's no obligation. Again, call or text 623-640-5911. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Welcome back. Also, folks, please remember that this program is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my longtime, very dear friend and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, and tell Dan that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco and Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I also want to remind all men in ministry leadership that you are invited to the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio biannual free pastor's luncheon, which will be held Thursday, March the 5th, 2026, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. It's absolutely free of charge, which includes lunch, and every man will leave that place with a heavy sack, possibly two heavy sacks, of free brand-new books personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. And for the second time, we are featuring keynote speaker Dr. Conrad Mbewe, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and also the founding chancellor of African Christian University. I truly believe Dr. Mbewe is the most powerful preacher of the gospel alive on the planet Earth. He will also be speaking at the church where I'm a member, Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, the night before the luncheon, Wednesday, March 4th at 7 p.m. All are welcome to that event. But if you're a man in ministry leadership, you can register by sending me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com to attend the free pastor's luncheon on Thursday, March 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Perry County, Pennsylvania. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put pastor's luncheon in the subject line. And if you want to attend the event that's open to everyone on Wednesday, March the 4th, at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, just go to their website to get more details and directions at trbccarlisle.org, trbccarlisle.org. And we have John in Truman in Washington, Pennsylvania, who says, have you done any research into the first known abductees of aliens, or so they claimed, Betty and Barney Hill? What was going on in their life that would have led them to experience this, which even as I understand, psychiatrists believe that at least they really believe they were abducted?
Right. I've heard that story told by many different people. Unfortunately, I can't retell it here for the sake of time or even just my personal knowledge of it. And I don't really know the background. I would say, in kind of tagging on to the response I have from the last question, it is not the case, I don't believe, that the only way that you're going to experience, you know, anything from something just like seeing something very strange light in the sky called a UFO, is because that you've been dabbling around or playing with a Ouija board or something like that. I think that this phenomena can happen to people, to Christians and to non-Christians, and to people who have been involved in dabbling in the occult and not. So I can't really speak to that, but that is an interesting story. So I would just say I have not personally ever experienced anything strange, although I've heard, have had some neighbors in the past, one account in my childhood, and then one recent, which I would say I had a neighbor who was very freaked out because he believed that he saw a drone. And he didn't say, oh, it was an alien craft or something like that, but it was very disturbing to him. And that was right in our neighborhood. And I wasn't home at the time to go out and take a look with the binoculars or something like that. It wasn't night. I think this is important. You know, I think that the first thing we need to kind of convince Christians is to say, like, there is something happening that has a grounding in reality. There's some reality to this phenomenon. It's not just lies and made up stories. And so as such, the Christians in the church need to think about how they're going to respond to people who have been involved or disturbed by some shade of this phenomenon. I think that it's the duty of the church to try to think a little bit, to engage, you know, what this looks like for the purpose of evangelism or counseling or otherwise. I would just say there is a so much deception and misinformation and disinformation out there, and lack of trust in the media, and at all time low trust in government. I don't trust the government at all. I'm a millennial. I remember 9/11. And I have zero trust in what the government tells us. And the joke, of course, which is a sad joke after 2020 and COVID, was send us more conspiracy theories because all the old ones are not true.
Right.
And so we have this crisis of information, I think, right now as a culture that we don't know what authority we're to listen to. And that is why we must be presuppositionally Christians and committed to understanding the Bible as the only sure revelation, straight stick by which we compare all other information coming to us. Not to say that the only place that we can find something that is true, because true is what is corresponds to reality, and reality is made by God, and God knows it perfectly. But God is our authority. He has given us the Bible to read. So you know, if I could, I just wanted like to share a couple of passages of scripture here that I think are relevant if I have time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, First John says, "Behold, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in the world already." So testing the spirits, if we're dealing with spiritual entities and we're making spiritual claims, we have the means to test the spirits according to the scripture and by the scripture. And then Galatians, Paul says, there's 1:6-8, he says, "I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed." And to the Corinthians, Paul says, he talks about false apostles and deceitful workmen disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. And so, when we look to the law of God, we see that sorcery, divination, necromancy, summoning, public promotion of other gods, all these were actually capital offenses in the law of God. So God takes this very seriously. And so when we get into the paranormal, occultic, and the UFO phenomenon and the summoning, like I said, the close encounters of the fifth kind of stuff, that is not something that Christians ought to be involved with at all, but should be rebuking and refuting. We just do not want to invite the presence of evil into our lives. We can know them by the fruit, and the fruit is evil. But resistance, I would say again, I want to emphasize, the resistance in the name of Jesus Christ is time and again reported to end these terrifying experiences. If this has ever happened to you or someone you love, or is a trend or something that keeps happening, can't explain it fully, but I know that the one who is good and is mighty to save is Jesus.
Hallelujah. Well, I have had a fascinating time over the last 2 hours with you, brother. I enjoyed it perhaps even more than when I saw the lecture when I was physically present at the Future of Christendom conference. But how do our listeners get a hold of that as well in case they want to view that?
I would just recommend searching on YouTube for the Future of Christendom YouTube channel. And then there's a playlist for the No Other Name 2025 conference, and you can find the talks from that conference there. So if you look up my name, my last name is spelled H-O-R-V-A-T-H, Horvath, Andrew Horvath. So you can find my talk there. If you're interested in other things that I've spoken about, like at our Biblical Institute, you can look up St. John's Reformed Church, allchrist.org is our website, but you can look us up on YouTube also. And if you search by my name, some talks. I did 4 talks on apologetics this past year, as well as some other things.
Yeah, that was allofchrist.org. You said that kind of quickly. Allofchrist.org. And it was a joy having you on the program, brother. You really did a lot of research, obviously, to not only do your presentation at the conference, but on this program, and really enjoyed it. And I want to thank you. I want to thank everybody who listened. By the way, mark your calendars for tomorrow. We've got, for the very first time, Mark Rushdoony joining us, the son of the late R.J. Rushdoony, and Mark is going to be talking about his new biography about his late father. But I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.